It's your boy Jimmy V. What's going on? Another episode of DMC, Dating, Mating, and Communicating. I'm glad you tuned in because we got some good stuff for you. Stay tuned.
High schooler, like in summer.
That's all right. That's what it's for.
You just snorkeled on the air. Welcome back, you know?
Thank you. That's what it is, snorkeled. Yeah, I do that.
Is this some Paula? Is this
some Paula Abdul in the
American
mix?
Idol judge Paula Abdul?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny about her? She looks like the same now as she did in like 1994.
Yes, it's amazing.
For the most part.
That's right.
For the most part.
Yeah. What's going on, everybody? You are back for another episode of DMC, Dating, Mating, and Communicating. This is where you want to be every Wednesday, 8, 10 Pacific time. Of course, I am your host, Jimmy V. Twitter, Instagram, at Be Your Own Dad. But I'm not alone. Got the baddest panel in the land. Let them introduce themselves.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. How you doing? I hope you're enjoying your summer. It is Constance Dunn. You can always find me at Instagram or Twitter at Constance Dunn.
Chaos. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Did not mean to interrupt the queen. No. My bad. I was a little over anxious there. It's your man, Chaos J, Chaos Jones, in the building.
Okay.
Chaos underscore Oceans 31. 31 flavors. You already know.
31 flavors. Special in time for the summertime, too.
Right?
You got to switch it up. I had very interesting feedback from last week's episode. So, first of all, shout out to Frank. I'm glad he swung on through, you know, brought us into his world.
Right.
And
world.
I like the different perspective on the way he approaches relationships and stuff. Okay. One of our viewers reached out to me, mentioned that, hey, that guy was hilarious. They thought everything that he was saying was funny, but true to a T. And this is where my question comes to you. Since today's episode is about boundaries,
right?
I remember when Frank was here and he was demonstrating how he approaches a woman, right? And he kind of brought you in.
Yeah.
From over here, my boundaries were like passed. I was like, whoa.
Why are you touching her like that?
I felt some type of way. So
I did too.
I just wanted to get your two cents.
I've been meaning to ask you that too.
On that situation there.
You were very accommodating with that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, because it's the show and I like to be an pro-educational
which we do
person.
Appreciate you giving up yourself, you know, for the demonstration.
Yes. But I'm not a big touchy-feely person unless I know you.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But suffice to say, I just, and it's not personal to him, but I went and washed my hair.
Yep. Okay.
So, half a bottle of shampoo was
easy. Easy.
And it's not personal. It's just having a stranger's hands and their energy. This is where it gets hippie for me. Mm-hmm. Having their energy in my hair and in my head, which is very personal. And it's funny. He had a point. He had a good point. Getting intimate in a woman's hair, like I can remember, like for instance, my husband or like men that I've been romantically involved with, like it's a very special place, you know.
Like if they get to touch the hair, it's because they earned it.
Exactly, they were able to bypass the boundaries you set beforehand.
Yes, and I remember a man who I cared for very much. He put his face in my hair and was scenting it, like smelling it, like it was like opium field. And I loved him, so I was very flattered.
He's like,
by that.
Smell this hair, Daddy. Yeah. Smell it.
But yeah, he has an interesting, I think he does it in the club where he was saying, he made a good point because I said, oh my God, if you touch my hair, he goes, but the way you are, maybe a few drinks in, if the guy was really hot and I'm single and we're having fun and I don't sense anything Scary Larry off of him, he's got like a smile.
Scary Larry.
Then I think that it's a bold move. And I think that
super bold move. Yeah, it's a bold move I'm probably never going to add to my repertoire.
Yeah.
If I'm ever back on the market like that, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm all down for some hair.
Right.
Pulling, but not just at that situation, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, of course, today's episode, we are going to be talking about the beauty of having boundaries, right? So, I think we all put up boundaries for the fact, one, nobody wants to get hurt, whether that's emotionally, mentally, physically, all those variations. So, I think boundaries start from a detective way, and then Constance. I love how you put down here. They keep you from making bad decisions in your love life.
Right, right. So I don't know if you guys have had this, but have you guys had like a tragic, horrible love affair, a relationship that wounded you, put you like really messed with your head?
Yeah, okay, yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Right, right. So if you look back, because I like to look back. And you kind of deconstruct what happened because you don't want to make the same mistake, right?
That's right. Only way to move forward, you have to look back,
right.
See what you did, switch things up, and keep it pushing.
Right, right, right. Just like try to pull out the lesson. But usually there's some point in the relationship where you go, I know this was the red flag and everybody told me.
Right. You know what I mean? I feel like, but girls, they always say, oh, he's a player, he's this and that, but you're the one in the relationship, so you're like, y'all don't know what he's talking about. Right. He treats me good.
Right.
Down the line, your girls were actually right.
Spot on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that speaks to the point that they probably are able to catch it because they've already been through it.
That's right,
even though, even though his moves might be different, to the point to where you might not recognize his moves, they've seen those moves. So they're like,
that's
that's that F game right there. That he got that Z, that he doing that Z technique right now.
Right.
Like, yeah, girl, I had somebody do the Z technique on me. And they can see it, but you've only had, you know, C, A, and F technique.
Yeah. You
so
seen
you
it
don't
all.
Recognize
Thank
that
you.
Z.
That's right.
That Z is that new new.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and people really punish themselves, too, when they are, you know, because a bad mate decision could pretty much make your life. It can ruin your life.
Yes,
right?
It can.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It can ruin your life, or it can damage you.
Thank you.
To the point where you may unknowingly and inadvertently do the same thing that was done to you
to
someone
the next person.
Else.
Mm-hmm. And that's the
and
worst
that makes
thing,
you
too.
A terrible human. I've done this, so I am a terrible
no,
human.
No, you're not. Right. No, you're not.
But I have learned from my mistakes.
Right.
Now,
good.
I wanted to say, Jimmy, have you had any of your homeboys be like, yo, dude, she's trouble.
She's a hoe. She's a slut. She's a freak. Got a different dude
every
day,
day
of the
week.
Week, right?
No, yes. But not even on that level. Not even like, oh, like, you know, she smashed all the homies.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's important to know, too, because you definitely don't
want
to make a thought.
Always is important
a thought
to know.
Into a girlfriend, but
right.
I just mean, just in generally, like, yo, she's batshit crazy, bro.
Yes, I've been told, Jimmy, this is what you're about to get into. And they kind of broke it down for me. Not from they've been with her, but they know somebody else who's experienced that. So actually knowing that, to be honest, I'd rather have not known. And here's why.
Okay.
Because during the whole time we were interacting with each other, I was waiting for whatever my man told me to come out of her. So I was like,
you were anticipating.
I was
and you
anticipating
were
it instead of just living in the moment and learning for myself. Did I end up being saved? I actually did. So shout out to my boy. But at the same time, I didn't give her a chance just because I was like, okay, here it comes. And that's exactly what he was talking about.
Right.
I'm done with you.
You already had a preconceived judgment when you went into it.
Right, right, right.
See, a lot of people are like, curiosity kills the cat. So when people, everyone's telling them that this person's bad news bears, but they're like, yeah.
I still want to find out myself.
It's like, don't touch it. It's like, hey, Jimmy, don't touch that stove. Jimmy, don't touch that stove. Hey, Jimmy, I told you, man, it's hot.
Exactly.
And you're like,
and then, damn.
Right.
You know what? Les Brown, one of my, I look up to him, he says, money doesn't make you rich, but everybody wants to find out for themselves, right?
So yes, then, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So
true.
Then,
it's like
no matter
right, it's like,
right,
oh, let me just
I'm
find
like,
out for myself.
Right,
like, I'll figure
ahead
it out.
And give me a couple mil, and
let
I'll
me get
be
a couple
judgment.
Million. Right, and then you're rich and still lonely, right? But
right.
It's the same thing though. When someone may tell you something, you don't believe it until you go through it. Your actual self.
You got to go through it to grow through it.
It's true.
Boom.
Or it's a trade-off. Now, this is where it gets interesting because whenever you're involved in relationships, people don't like this, but think of it as a market-based trade-off. Yeah. You're trading some value of yourself, and I'm trading a value of yourself that you want. We're trading some, each person's, it could be just even friendships. You do the same thing. You like your friend because A, B, C, and D.
Very true.
He likes you because A, B, C, and D, right? So you do the same thing in relationships, romantic relationships. So here's the situation. If something is, somebody is giving you something so amazing that even there's a drawback where, like, let's just say your friends are telling you that this woman's like, owes $500,000 in debt, so...
But she got that snapback.
Right.
And I'm trying to get the snapping, but
right,
yeah.
Right, so you're going to take the trade-off, right?
Yeah.
Like, can you think about... Trade-offs are interesting because...
Bite the bullet.
It could be something like, okay, like, I know the guy doesn't have... Like, I'm basically supporting him, but he's got something else that I'm doing a trade-off on. Mm-hmm. Because there's another attribute that right now in my life is more important than that. Like his fine ass, you know what I mean? So yeah,
the sex could be great,
right?
I mean, some people legitimately stay in really bad relationships because they have such great sex.
Access mm-hmm. to sex.
There's a song, my ratchet side is coming out right now. It's like two bomb, it's a dick two bomb. That's what it's called, right? So the girl is saying everything that's wrong in the relationship, but she's saying dick to bomb, so she's still sticking with it.
Because it can be addictive, too. And when the sex therapist was here, I don't remember the specifics, but she talks about this actual, it's a phenomenon that happens chemically in your body. And she's like, she's a good, really good sex therapist, so I'm going to go with what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why she says that, I might be paraphrasing, but to be careful with sex because it puts it changes your mind. It's a drug.
It does.
It's a drug in your mind, so you can't see the person clearly.
You got blinders on. You really do. You got some blue blockers.
They could be like behind your back. You're like, what time am I going to pick you up today, Tiffany?
I've said this on the show before.
Sharp the knives, scrolling through pictures of her dead exes on her phone. And you're like, yeah, so I'm going to come through about 7.
Scary situation there.
Like, right. Let's just have some Netflix and chill. I mean, Netflix and chill.
So a way to avoid a lot of pain, it especially is in the beginning when you haven't had a lot of experience with relationships because you're just figuring things out. Like, I have had a horrible relationship back in the day, which was always very useful to me, but it was just like, it was a horror story. But the idea is that what would have probably helped me, I'm not blaming myself, I just didn't have the base of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had had some boundaries in place.
So, how do we set those?
Right. So, one of the things you can do is just a caveat. If you are from a relationship family where your family did not have very good boundaries in place or none at all, or they were slippy, slidey, or they were just completely whacked out and not anything you should follow, then give yourself some slack because you don't have a good sense of what boundaries are or how to set them. We have a little graphic up on the screen that kind of shows you the idea of different boundaries. And, of course, we have healthy boundaries, little stick figures there. We also have limited or non-existent boundaries, and that's an issue that I had. I'm just talking about myself just to use me instead of, like, Mary Jane or, you know. And then, of course, we have loose or porous boundaries. You kind of have these... set up, well, I don't want someone who's like a liar or a drug addict, but they're loosey-goosey, so you'll bend them. You don't really have a commitment to yourself on them. Mm. And then, of course, we have the rigid. Now, it's good to have strong boundaries, but sometimes you do have to use reason because people's cases can be...
different.
Exactly.
Right. And then they're all surrounded, for those that are listening, like you always do.
Right.
You're so good about that.
Yeah.
Where each example has a different border. Mm-hmm. So the healthy boundaries just looks like a simple dotted line around that frame, where the limited non-existent is almost not there. You almost can't see it. And the loose and porous, you know, a lot can get through because it's loose and porous. There's a lot of spaces, you know, with that border. And then the rigid is just straight.
Right.
Solid.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not getting through.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Not dating a girl with red hair. Done. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, pretty much, which is ridiculous.
Example. Yeah. So the idea of boundaries, often it's hand-in-hand self-respect, in a sense. And again, don't beat yourself up if you don't have that or if you're working on that.
But, yeah. you mentioned earlier that you you had to go through a few situations to actually understand boundaries. Correct. So do you feel like at that age, were you around the limited to non-existent type boundaries over here? Like, where do you feel based on these figures here that you were at that age to where you are now?
So I had limited or non-existent boundaries.
Oh, okay.
And now, and this is just because of experience, you know what I mean, and time on the planet and having done some self-study and stuff, right, is I have healthy boundaries now.
That's good.
One of the things that I think that it can be, this is where I made a mistake, maybe others do, so I just mention it. There's this idea of not judging other people. That can be poison, because you must use mental discernment. Women, you must use discernment.
Judge away.
Exactly. And I took that perhaps incorrectly. And so the idea is it's like if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything type of thing. That's very dangerous.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, for particular for women. But the idea of boundaries is that you're thinking about ownership of the self. So this is mine. And that is yours. So some of the things, what do you own? Your body.
Mm-hmm.
You own your preferences. You have every right to them. Your values, your ethics, your likes and dislikes. And abusive people very quickly often want to move in and move your boundaries. And they want you to defend them.
Just like hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Have you guys had experience with someone like that really kind of maybe was a little bit of a man hater? And really was.
I try to stay away from
man hating, not so much. Know. But I've had someone that's definitely they test the boundaries
all the time,
and then not only do they test the boundaries, but then when you call when I would call that person out on it, you know. And like for me, if you call me out on my mistakes, and I own up to it, and I'll say, you know, you're right. You know what? I apologize, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But this particular person would not own up to anything.
Yeah.
At all. It was like, you tripping.
Wow.
And I'm not saying anything. But then, you know, I'll bring you a plate of food and be like, you know, we cool now? No.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah.
Oh, weird.
So they try to avoid owning up to it with something else, replacing it.
So hey, you want to go catch that movie that you said you wanted to catch on Friday? Like, we still got beef.
Yeah, we still got an issue to handle. I mean, we can go, but afterwards, like, we still talk? Got
like,
problems.
I need you to apologize because you were 100% wrong.
Good for you, because that's actually one of four top behaviors that signal boundary problems. Trying to control another via manipulation or force. She wasn't using force, but manipulation. Like, here's a coconut cream pie.
Kind of like R. Kelly. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah, that's a horrible story. But another one, behavior that signals boundary problem is making your girl or guy read your mind instead of saying what you're feeling. I was guilty of that just because I was, but I wasn't trying to.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure I might get roasted in the comments for this, but I'm pretty sure all women are guilty of that.
I know, poor guys.
What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing. Fine.
Just say it. You should know.
Right. It's like, if I knew, I wouldn't be asking.
That's right.
See, yeah, that's like a maturity thing, too. But another one is saying no when it would be okay to say yes. Like, if you're punishing somebody by, like, let's say, withholding affection. A big one is saying yes when you'd rather say no. It's like to please others or avoid conflict.
And I think a lot of people experience that, you know.
Yeah.
They feel the need to just give in at that time. You know, if someone's mad, you know, I don't want you to be mad. So they give in to whatever they request just to calm that person down when it really should be, let's figure out why you are mad
and talk about it and come up with a resolution that we can both agree on.
I sound so mature.
Okay. You do. Well, boundaries
are a mature
automatic.
Gold star of the day.
Yeah, you do. They're not automatic. And again, especially if you're from a family with bad boundaries or no boundaries. So the good thing is just you can start to set some boundaries if this is new for you. You could do this at any age, even if you don't have experience with romantic relationships. What you could do is just think of, what relationships do I admire? Like, what relationships seem cool? They could even be from television. It could be your grandparents.
Right now?
Someone from your neighborhood. And break it down a little for yourself. Always ask yourself why. Like, what specifically do I like about that relationship. So do it for five and trust you will find commonality on like four or five of those. I like the way he's so respectful of her mind. I'm just using an example. Yeah. I like the way he praises like her cooking. Yeah. I like the way that he seems to like really love her when she's sick. Those are just three that I'm throwing out right now.
I can think of. I just reposted on my Facebook. I saw some, you know, mushy video compilation, but it was of Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. Okay. Mm. And everybody says they've got a great relationship. And after watching that video, they truly do.
Right.
It's beautiful. But Gabby said it all started because they were friends first, you know? And then they started to build after that, boom, boom. And then now they are there, which... Interesting. Did you know Gabrielle Union is 9 years older than Dwayne Wade?
No, did not know.
I thought, if anything, it'd be the opposite, right?
Oh, I knew it wasn't the opposite. I figured they were really close in age.
Right.
But 9 years, I was like, oh, okay.
She's always looked a lot younger than her, like by like the number definitely. Of candles on the birthday.
Like, she low key still kind of low she key still looked like Bring
she's
It
33.
On. Right. Like, Bring It On.
She was playing like teen roles, I think, when she was a little like older than the teenage.
Definitely, yep.
More power to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you actually, Chaos, consciously put forth boundaries in your life?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
How did you come about figuring out how to do it?
When they got shattered. When well, I didn't even have any, and then I got, you know, stepped on, and just, you know, and just kind of, you know, I was just a pushover, and I, you know, then that's when I had to start establishing boundaries and kind of identifying things and saying, okay, these are things I'm not okay with.
Okay.
But it definitely didn't happen overnight, and it's definitely something that, had I not got, you know, for all intent and purpose, shitted on, I probably wouldn't have come up with these boundaries. But that's what it took.
That's what it took.
For me to be like, okay, I definitely don't like this. I don't like the way it's making me feel. I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
If you had done it before, then would you still have gotten in the relationship, do you think?
That's a good question.
Let me.
I would say yes, because a lot of people's true colors aren't out front when you first start dating them.
Right.
You know, you're still doing things to impress each other and all of that.
Spending money that you know you shouldn't be spending.
Right. All those insecurities and all that other stuff does not really make itself apparent until, you know, well into the relationship.
Right. And especially if people are you know, if someone is a master manipulator, they're usually pretty good at it. You know what I mean? They're not going to come out on the first date and, like, start beating you or, like, start lying to you or acting all, like, scandalous to you. Mm. And that's one of the reasons that people might set up boundaries, but we don't always keep them.
That's right.
And it's because of the big one is that you want to believe, you know, I always say fantasia is very powerful. You know, you write the story about somebody. You start writing a story about someone you don't know.
That's right.
Based upon, like, maybe, you know, dancing with them or
and that's
beauty.
The worst, too.
Or if you have an imaginative, if you're a creative person, I find that, you know, if you're creative, you just start, like, running away with this idea and you want to believe your own romanticized
don't
version.
They say, like, females set up the wedding day before even, like, the first date or something?
Ah, that's really funny.
I've heard it, though.
I know. And it's funny because I'm just, like, going back to being, like, a person that would have high school crushes, right?
Yeah.
So I would just, like, this guy, and I would just think about his face and how beautiful he is and think all, like, he was perfect because I thought he was beautiful. Have you done this with women?
I actually have.
Yeah. I've even gone as far as, back in the day, I've even gone as far as, like...
Matching tattoos or something?
No. I've even gone as far as, you know, like, with my daydreaming, so to speak, always like trying to imagine what a family portrait would look like.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I know it's real weird, but
no,
like
it's not weird.
One of those like old school type Olin Mills for anybody that knows about Olin Mills, like one of those old school type, not like that, but you know, like what would a family portrait look like with this person and you know, and maybe a kid or two.
Wow.
Like that would be like I would visualize that. Like, okay, possibly, maybe. So.
I've gone as far to, this is so bad, but I just think, what are all my homies going to say when they see her? Just
because
I know how they act.
right.
And I feel like the woman I pursue, I know all my boys are going to be like, damn, Jim, where'd you get her at? So with that said, I tend to get the... get the ones that everybody's trying to get, just so when I get her on my arm, I guess it's like a pride or
like a trophy,
ego or something.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I know that guys like to like show off their ladies, and I always like to look particularly extra, super special if I know I'm gonna meet my guy's family or friend, because I know that's something I want to do it for my own self, but of course I want him to be happy right. about his choice. And we'd love to, of course, get the chat up there if there's anyone
Let's
here.
Get that hot
Definitely.
Chat going.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys haven't had horrible, horrible relationships. And something to think about when you are doing your boundaries, if you want to get into it like in this level, mm-hmm. just think about romantic partnerships can be broken down into they serve. Five basic relational needs or relationship needs. They are companionship. Every person has a need for companionship in this world.
Adam needed Eve. Yep.
Yeah. Need for intimacy, someone to tell your secrets to. Need for security. That could be emotional security. Could be material. Also, the idea of emotional involvement, just being emotionally involved with somebody. And lastly, sex. Mm. So it's good to think about your which one of those. Where are those... What are you most interested in having fulfilled? Because we're all different. Sex might be more important. Security might be more important. I know that something I've come to appreciate being married is the physical protection of having a husband.
Oh, okay.
It's
the physical need to feel you are actually protected.
Yeah, it's actually a luxury. You know what I mean? I could be single. I mean, I could live alone again, but I was single for so long, and it's really nice to be able to, like, lighten up a little bit and just be relaxed. I know that when I walk down the street with a guy, any guy, that I feel much more, I am more safe as a Good. Woman, and it's a really luxurious kind of nice thing that I don't have. I could, like, you know, tiptoe through the tulips and look up at the sky. Right. So that's a need for me that I really enjoy.
You
having.
Mentioned what emotional is one of them.
Yeah. So emotional involvement.
I feel like me personally, just when it comes to sharing my thoughts, like I don't share everything with random people.
Right.
So when it comes to that one person I'm involved with, just being able to have those conversations, mm-hmm. share emotions. Yeah. I think that's what I value most there.
Yeah, it is. It's feeling like somebody knows you too. On
that's right. Yeah, and I was just having a great conversation with one of our viewers. If she's watching, what's up? What's up? And we were just speaking about how she feels as if she's not ready to get into a relationship because I guess someone is trying to. And this person ended up giving her a ultimatum to say, either we get into this relationship or we're done.
Really?
Yeah. So then what I ended up telling her is, one, you don't have to deal with any type of ultimatum.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
If you feel you're not ready,
you ain't ready.
Don't. Right. Exactly. But then I also expressed too that don't think there's anything wrong with you to think you're not ready.
Right.
All of us, we all think we may be ready for our next step or our next relationship or something. So if you know yourself that you're not ready for something, no need to force yourself into it.
Not only that, because I just want to jump in real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, excuse me. I also feel like, too, there's a lot of times, and I know that's even happened to me, where you're like, yeah, I'm ready for this. Yeah, girl, we need to go to the next level. And then you get to the next level, you're like, oh, whoa, hold on. Wait.
Hey,
whoa.
This is kind of high.
They do this on this level? Oh, no, I wasn't trying to do all of that. This is on this level? Oh, no, I'm on the wrong level.
Right,
I got to go.
Right.
I can't stay.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, if you're not ready, you're not ready. I can remember, again, my like horrible relationship that I just use as a teaching tool. But
I think you should say that person's name and address.
I know. Yeah, they were like, wow, scared me straight. But the idea is that they used to always try to get me to tell them like secrets of my life. And it was weird. And they were like older. And I know why they always dated girls that were under 25, because they were basically like emotional predator.
Ooh, you know
no,
what?
No
but
one
you just made a good point, though.
R. Kelly, a what?
Yesterday.
I'm sorry. This name keeps slipping out of my mouth.
It's atrocious. But, I know about the first case. I followed the first trial. It was
yeah, all that R. Kelly
but
stuff.
That's exact
madness.
Right.
But you made a great point. Like, I know people who only go after younger girls because they haven't gone through anything, so they don't know how to deal with this. They're very naive. They're naive, yeah, which we all are. And they're very
gullible. Exactly.
Until we go through those experiences.
Yeah. Right, and then they're pissed. Then they're pissed off 24-year-old women.
Well, even you can take it back to, like, high school.
Right.
The senior dates the freshman.
And I remember the junior and the senior girls, if they knew that you were messing around with a freshman, you was cut off. You was blacklisted, so you could never go back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, guys would always date the freshman because they could manipulate them. Yeah, they could
manipulate them.
Now,
so.
Keep in mind, though, even though we do bring this up, and we just got done with the topic of Gabby and Dwayne, who are 9 years apart, it's all about the level of maturity that that person is.
Right.
Because a person could be 30 and have no relationship experience.
Right.
They've got the brain mentality of someone that's like 16 or something.
Right.
Compared when it comes to relationships.
Yes, exactly.
And Dwayne and Gabrielle are adults.
That's right.
And they also have their own money. Like, there's an equity.
When I say the boy got his own money, the boy got his own money.
Stop it. That boy is worldwide, okay? Yeah,
but it is. I mean, she is too, though. I mean,
What's this image that we have up here, Miss Queen?
Well, we're cutting this. Let's just put this up for now. I'm going to do a little flashback to my days at Fox 29 WFLX in Palm Beach, because a few episodes ago we were talking about dressing your figure and whether you're a guy or a girl, thinking about visually balancing your figure. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this. Choosing stuff that for guys will kind of make your shoulders have a greater width than your torso, and that making a really great visual look. And of course, let's just show this short little clip and
hard-nosed assessment Queen. Of yourself in the mirror, but be kind, but look at areas that you might want to visually balance a little, and think about what clothes might get you there. And for instance, maybe a little ruching up in the shoulders to create a broader shoulder. For men, forget the tent tops with the drop shoulders, with the silky material. It's too much bulk for most men. Mm-hmm. And also look at your pants. A lot of manufacturers put a lot of extra fabric in the seat of the pants, which creates what I call the dighty look on men. Mm-hmm. Way too much bulk that you don't need. And if you're a guy who hasn't tried out flat front trousers, just give them a whirl. Give them a whirl.
Those look good. I see a lot of guys with flat front trousers, and those look really, really good.
Well,
you did give us some great tips, we're so glad that you were here with us again. Constance Dunn, our fashion expert. Thank you once again for being here.
Ooh, that girl Constance been doing her thing. Hey, don't sleep on it now.
Yeah. Pleats are like MC Hammer pants light.
Right.
It's like Diet Hammer pants.
Yeah, they're beyond. But also even dress pants, they like that seat of the pants issue. So flat front trousers are obviously, they're making dress pants for guys so much more flattering for guys these days, which I personally enjoy quite a bit. But I think I was it just gave you a little one. But I talked about there was like a model that we were using that day, and she did such a great job of like basically cinching the waist and having kind of try to get your shoulders to look as wide as you can, and then just like get a hourglass as much as you can.
And I think that goes with the fellas too. It is not the year 2000 to throw away all those 6XL white tees, those extra large baggy clothes. I just got them. But yeah, throw away all those clothes that we used to wear that didn't fit on purpose. And I think we should go along with what the ladies are doing, you know, try to, you know, tighten up, you know.
Minus the skinny jeans.
Get yourself.
Still can't cosign on those.
Those are hard. Those
if
are
you
hard.
You know what? I'm blood type through my
guilty,
pants.
Actually. I'm guilty. I was at the store a few weeks ago. I didn't wear the jeans there because, you know, you're supposed to try them on, make sure they fit. I picked them up. I was like, ooh, these are good. I like the color. I was short on time. Left. Went home, put them on. I was like, what in the hell are these? I was like, damn. But I was running late. So I was like, okay, I got to rock a mountain. They weren't bad, but
it's
usually
great.
Not my...
Cast was tight.
Usually not my cup of tea.
As long as they're not the toothpick size.
Jimmy, I didn't know when you were saying
I was like, what the hell?
That is funny. And I don't know if you guys heard about the, catfish campaign, the killing catfish campaign. And I just had to put it up there. There's a model called Matt Peacock, and of course we have a picture of him up on Tinder. Ladies, get a good eye full of that just so you recognize this guy. in case you should, make sure you you rehearse that face there. His basically his identity has been stolen and used to create over 40 fake dating profiles in the UK.
Someone called Neve.
Yes, so Matt Peacock has been he is pissed off now, and he's trying to he's actually connected with women that were victimized by people who have been using his face, and they've actually, he's married, they've called his wife and said, I've been talking to your husband and stuff, and this woman was telling him how she felt suicidal because, of course, the people that use the catfish that use his pictures, they will ask, they'll get the naked pictures and the sex stuff, you know, which what they do, they basically, like, I'm like, oh, I'm really into you. These people, women.
Let me get them nudes.
Yeah, they think that they have a relationship with this fabulous guy.
That's
horrible.
Can you imagine the drama every time the wife, you know, I'm sure at after a certain point, she's like, okay, I already know what this is. No, you've been catfished, blah, blah, blah. But the first one or two, you coming but home?
You gotta believe me.
Yeah,
it's not me.
I don't know.
But look at this profile.
Right.
I know this. That was the laundry behind you.
Yes. And they even took, like, used pictures of his nieces and nephews to say, like, oh, see, these are my kids, and I'm, like, Mr. Family.
Well,
man.
We're all experienced catfish panelists, so yes, we know how far these people go to protect their secret.
They do.
Yes, and you know what? They confronted, they had basically him confronting, or, like, some woman confronting this guy that was using, who was the worst catfish, and using it, like, left, right, and center. And the basically guy did something similar, which we see on the show Catfish on MTV. He promised he would stop doing it, and then 2 weeks ago later, he was doing it
again. Right back on it.
Right, so Matt is trying to make this illegal in England. That would mean to steal another person's ID in order to lure them into a sexual relationship.
Well, tell him to holler at Neem, right? Because I'm sure he knows a whole lot
My
about that.
My thing is, I just feel like, okay, you can get, maybe you get an adrenaline rush or a thrill from doing that, but at the end of the day, you don't look like that person. Yeah. So, like, you can never meet up.
Right.
Yeah.
Because once that person realizes you're, you know.
Like, yeah, what is your next step when it's time to actually meet up? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, when you actually finally decide, okay, I'm going to actually meet this person, I'm not who I say I am.
Right.
Like, what do you do? I don't know. That's why I don't do any type of catfish or anything of that sort.
I mean, well, yeah, but you don't do any...
Just because I'd be lost. I don't know. It's like, what if I say, I'm Kells, right?
Right.
And they say, okay, let's meet for drinks at 8. Sure. Like, me thinking as I'm going there, like, okay, is she's not going to recognize me. What am I going to say when I get there? And she's like, you're not who you say you are.
And how are you going to maintain and be able to keep her there to continue with the date?
Because
at that point, you lied about the very most basic thing is what you look like.
And then everything you've built up until that point is thrown out the window. And that is us, which I always love to hear us on YouTube there.
That is really loud. Sorry, you guys. I just wanted to see if there are people in the chat. I was having a hard time checking them out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you are joining us, we do always appreciate you. I know that there's some people watching us live. But Kels, you never mentioned, I know we fessed up to which one of the five basic relational needs are more important to you.
I'm so glad I'm not asking this question because he always thinks I'm coming at him. So, Queen, there you go.
Okay, so...
So, again, there's companionship,
intimacy, security, emotional involvement, and sex. And how many am I allowed to pick?
You're allowed to pick, like, the couple that are very important to you. Or you can pick as many, but like, which ones are really kind of very important to you?
I would say
choose one.
That's the only one you get. Well, you get fries.
We chose one.
Oh,
so
just one.
Say,
okay, all right. So just one.
Yeah.
Companionship.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, at the end of the day,
let
you
me
want
tell
somebody
you about
to
my
feel,
best friend.
Hey, you definitely want someone. You want to feel like you have, you know, that you're with someone that's going to have your back.
Yes.
You know, or even just someone that, you know, when you get off work and you get in the car, you know, hey, man, you know, that's the first person you call to tell them about your day.
Yeah, that's really
if
nice.
I was your best friend.
And you know what's funny?
I want you around all the time. I want you around all the time. I was your best friend. Shout out to 50 Cent on that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, I think there's something really nice. You were talking about Gabrielle Union and her husband.
Yeah.
And we talked about, when we talked about Stephen, Steph Curry and his wife.
Aisha
Curry.
It seems like, again, the kind of commonality and thing that I say a lot is that good friends make, like, great wives and great husbands.
And I agree, because that's why I think if a relationship is based only on sex, it's not going to last.
No.
I remember watching this grandmother speak. Her video went viral. She's like 60-something. But she was just talking about her marriage, which now she's been married 30-plus years. And she kept it real. She was like, oh, we started out as friends.
Uh-huh.
The sex was good. Right. But the sex died off like after age of 40-something.
Really?
So when the sex died off, we still had our friendship to last on. And that's what got them to where they are now, you know? So if you don't have a foundation to stand on, you're going to crumble. I'm dropping bombs down here. DJ Clue, give me a beat, you know, boom.
And you know what's funny? That in this, the five relational needs, there's companionship, but then there's intimacy and emotional involvement. And those three are really related. But the idea of intimacy is when there's no intimacy, let's just say two people are chummy, but they're not really intimate.
What do you mean by chummy?
Like, you get along really well. Like, we're chums. You know what I mean? We get along in this relationship. But I don't have a sense of depth and emotional. Like, intimacy, I always think, like, is something very deep. That's like
you guys always hang around each other, but you're not deeply connected as to conversation-wise.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think a lot of relationships, you know, when people try to talk somebody into staying into a relationship and they'll say, like, we get along great. And the person's like, yeah, okay, we get along great. But then they don't feel a really in-depth connection to them. Mm-hmm. I think that's a hard thing to manage, you know, these in-depth love types of relationships.
I'm still learning about them, so yeah.
I think it's very rare, though, that people can be friends, deeply feel that sense of in love, intimacy, and sex. Is this a song thing?
Everything's a song with me. We'll be lovers and friends. Oh, it's a good thing, baby. Usher and Lil Jon.
I hated that song,
Yeah.
Is that me? Who sings that?
I mean, it was played so much that I ended up liking it, but I hated that song.
But it's true, though. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Lovers and friends, isn't that the best combination?
It is.
It is. Do you think, last question, do you think that there's more than one person for you on Earth here?
Yep.
Yes.
Like, there's
more. We said that really quick.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh yeah.
But I do. I don't believe, I know that, you know, a lot of the people subscribe to the soulmate concept. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to knock the soulmate concept. I believe that. But I also believe that there's so many damn people on this planet.
Yeah.
That
over a billion
people. If one soulmate doesn't work, you can find another match. If one puzzle piece fits for a little bit and then it gets worn and dog-eared and it doesn't fit anymore, you can find another puzzle piece.
And then too, we've spoke about this on the show, different mates may give you different things. One of them may fulfill you sexually, another one mentally, another one emotionally. It'd be dope if you can get all that in one person, but
you just build a
bear, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
build one. But unfortunately,
maybe, you know, when they come up with, you know, like artificial intelligence.
iRobot.
Type stuff,
yeah.
But, like, you know, it's like a chick.
But, you know. which too, we spoke about this. When it comes to relationships, you gotta sacrifice. You gotta sacrifice the good, and you gotta sacrifice the bad.
How do you mean?
As an example,
you might have 10 things on your checklist. That person might not hit all 10 points the way that you think they should, but they may hit the biggest ones that are the most important to you, and the same can be said for you. You may not hit all 10 points on their checklist, but you guys match up really, really well, and you have a strong compatibility and chemistry. So it's like, why throw that away because of one thing or another? So it's give and take.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think that's what
Jimmy
makes,
dropping
keeps
bombs.
People in relationships.
Thank you, Kels.
Yes, you are. I think it keeps people in relationships. They get worried that they won't find another person.
That's scary, though.
It is.
I feel like I don't want to be that guy that you're just sticking with me just because. As in, like, I can't find anybody else. I mean, Jimmy's cool and all, but, you know, I he's guess. He's got a
good job.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, he pays his bills on time, I guess, you know. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Right. And it would never, it wouldn't work.
Ultimately, I don't think it would work. Show yeah. itself. I think over time, whatever it is that we connected on, I think we would outgrow that.
Yeah. How many relationships, like, have you had, would you say?
Serious relationships? Yeah. I've had three.
That's not bad.
And I'm 25.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you, okay, yeah, it looks like we're getting ready to wrap it up here.
Ooh, just when it was about to get spicy. All right, yeah. Good. So thank you guys for joining us for DMC. Today's episode, How to Create Better Boundaries. Always continue the conversation within our YouTube comments, or if you are listening, you can always reach out to us on social media. Of course, I can be found on Twitter, Instagram at Be Your Own Dad, as well as in the YouTube comments. My co-host, where can they find you guys?
Yes, you can always find me at Instagram or Twitter. Remember, write down 5 relationships that you admire and what you admire. It's never too late or too early to just get your boundaries together.
Get them in line, stack them up, rack them up. Mm-hmm. It's your man, Chaos Jones, Chaos J on Twitter, Chaos_Oceans31. Oceans, why? Because your boy's so wavy.
And I want to thank you guys. And next week, be sure to tune in. It's going to be a special episode, and you don't want to miss out.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.